Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone 6 minutes past the hour of nine. This is the At-Tajir program, and in this program we focus on various business, economics as well as financial news, but we also cover a lot of qualities and things that we need to try and bring, habits, personal traits that we need to try and bring into our life. This will not just make us a better businessman, but it makes us better people, and that is imperative. That is very, very, very important. So over the years now, Mufti Saab has been taking us through various of these discussions, citing for us examples from the noble character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, our pious elders, and there's been many, many, many lessons that you've been able to draw from and we've been able to achieve. Let's welcome Mufti Saab onto the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Trust that you're keeping well, Mufti.
Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, Rabbul Izzah. I just returned from Port Elizabeth last night and I'd gone down. My brother was involved in a robbery on Friday evening by the beachfront in Port Elizabeth, and he was stabbed multiple times.
Allah.
And it was a very traumatic event for the family, mm-hmm. you know, that he was stabbed while he was alone, and to get help and to get assistance to him at that time. Yet it was a difficult few minutes at that time, but we can only thank and praise Allah Rabbul Izzah that we were able to get good treatment for him, and that he wasn't stabbed in any critical places, you know, internal injuries, and that he is recovering, alhamdulillah. So we thank and praise Allah, and we cannot thank Allah sufficiently. Allah has really been kind.
Most definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very, very kind to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your brother's recovery very, very quick, speedily, and grant him complete shifa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. It's, you know, sometimes you just go on casually out there, and unfortunately, these are the things that that unfortunately await us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. He is most definitely the best of protectors. Now, today's program, first up, we're going to have an interview, and we will be having an interview with Discovery, and as far as the medical aid scheme is concerned, because they have now launched a Sharia compliant medical aid. So we're going to be speaking to them about that in a very, very short while after this break. And then later in the program, we will be discussing leadership. Everybody wants to be a leader, but does everybody have the makings of a good leader? That is what we will be discussing in today's program. We go for a break. When we come back, we will continue with the program. Stay tuned.
Discovery Health Medical Scheme offers members the first and only Sharia-compliant agreement in the medical scheme space. This morning, we talk about this exciting development with Farzana Baba, head of the health product development at Discovery Health. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much for having me on your show this morning.
Shukran for joining us this morning. Some really good and great news for the Muslim community. Perhaps you could begin by enlightening the listeners. What is a Sharia-compliant agreement?
Perfect. So, a Sharia-compliant arrangement, in the way we've set it up, will ensure that all members will have access to a health insurance product that aligns with the Takaful principles and ensures that it's end-to-end Sharia compliant. So meaning the way in which the contributions are collected, the way in which the policies are set up, and ensuring that there's no interest that is earned on any element of the product, there is no investment in any gambling product or anything that is non-Sharia compliant.
Okay, now what does this arrangement mean for the Muslim community?
I think what's important is that as the Muslim community, Sharia compliant products, insurance, we've got available bonds, product in medical scheme. So it means we paid out of the private health, private medical. There's now available to this medical scheme.
Yes. What efforts will the Discovery Health, Sharia compliant, make to ensure that this product continues to be compliant with Sharia ethical principles?
That's a really important question, and I think in order to provide assurance to the Muslim community that it's compliant with the Sharia principles, we've put together and appointed an independent Sharia advisory committee that consists of three scholars, currently Mufti Ahmed Suleiman, Mufti Yusuf Suleiman, and Mufti Zaid Hospital. I mean, I think that you would know them both locally and internationally. They're very familiar with the IOC accounting standards and with setting up these Sharia-compliant financial structures. What they will do is they will do regular audits, continuous reviews to ensure that every element and every member's contributions that are collected in the Discovery Health Medical Scheme is ensured that these members are kept in a Sharia-compliant manner.
Okay, now you spoke about the Sharia Advisory Committee. Maybe you can explain to us and our listeners, how are members of the Sharia Advisory Committee selected?
So, I mean, I think the committee was originally set up to ensure that there's an independent element. We need to ensure there's independent verification. And so each of these scholars have been selected from that perspective. And then it's also important to ensure that the standards that they apply, the education that they've received is all aligned with the international Sharia compliant standards that exist.
Yes. Now, for those who are already here, customers of Discovery, and those who would like to benefit from this, what is the process for those who wish to switch to this arrangement?
So we've tried to make it really easy for anyone that would like to switch. If you are an existing Discovery Health Medical Scheme member, you can either speak to your financial advisor, call our call center, or if you prefer, you can do it yourself. You would go onto the Discovery website and go onto Manage Your Health Plan. From there, you follow a few quick, easy steps where you can literally tick a box that says, I'd like to enter into the Sharia-compliant arrangement. Once ticking the box, you'll receive a confirmation that from the 1st of June, your medical scheme plan will be Sharia compliant. So you can opt in already from today. It's been available, but it will be effective from the 1st of June. I think maybe just also to add, if there's anyone out there that's currently on another medical scheme or does not have any medical scheme cover, because there's now a Sharia compliant arrangement available, you can also easily call our call center or go onto our website to inquire about how to join Discovery Health Medical Scheme. And there's a special offer that's running where there'll be 3 months of Vitality that is offered for free.
Okay, now as you say, you know, this is groundbreaking. It's the first Sharia compliant agreement that Discovery has come up with. They beat everybody else to it. You know, the members will want to know that does this arrangement impact their benefits in any way and the pricing in any way?
Yeah, that's another important one. The magic in the way in which it was developed ensures that none of your benefits or your contributions will change. So the amount that you are currently paying will not change. You'll still pay the same contribution amount every single month. And we've made it available in such a way that every single plan, whether you've chosen a classic saver plan or you prefer a comprehensive plan or a key care plan, that you can now have access to a Sharia-compliant arrangement. So across the board, all of our plans will be Sharia-compliant if you select and opt to do so. There'll be no change to your premiums, no change to limits or benefits whatsoever. Those remain exactly the same. And there's no additional fees that will be charged as a result of us managing this in a Sharia-compliant manner.
Yes, it sounds really great, mashallah. And we look forward to our listeners taking benefit of this. Sister Farzana, Jazakumullah Khair, for enlightening and alerting listeners about this important development.
Jazakallah for having me on the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, yes, so it's always encouraging to see how, you know, the Muslim community is being catered for in different ways. And the fact that we as a Muslim community, you know, in South Africa, even though we are a minority, yet our needs are being taken care for in the mainstream and, you know, different development of products that suit the needs of the Muslims. So this is really heartwarming and encouraging. 18 minutes past 9, let's go for a short break. And when we come back, we begin our discussion on leadership.
Okay, we welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. It's gone about 21 minutes past the hour of 9. We now move on to the next segment of our program. And as we told you right in the start of the program, in the segment today, we will be speaking all about leadership. It's something that everybody wants. It's something that certain people, you know, they go out of the way, they fight for it, and they'll do really sometimes even crazy things just to get leadership. But I think the important thing that we need to ask ourselves is, do we really have the qualities of being the good leader? And what are the qualities of a good leader? How do we bring these qualities into our life that can make us a good leader? Before we actually start with the topic, Mufti Saab, there's a message from a sister here that says, to Mufti Yusuf Musaji, I'm very sorry for what happened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you, especially your brother as well as your mum. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your brother complete shifa with afia very soon. Message from the listeners.
We really appreciate it. And may Allah accept all the du'as.
Alhamdulillah, ameen. Mufti Saab, why is leadership important, especially in the work environment?
Yes, the work environment. The workplace is our modern-day version of an adult playground full of many different people, personalities, and perceptions. And each person brings a unique edge to the office that collectively creates a diverse array of skill sets that can benefit the company. In order to bring everyone together, a leader must lead by example. And how do we develop systems and procedures to bring out each player's best in the corporate playground? By creating practical leadership principles and habits of execution. So leadership will always be the bread and butter of businesses because it centers around a common theme and mission. And much like the philosophy of the armed forces and the Navy SEALs, leaders are made, not born. The same is in business, that, you know, leaders are made and not born. They don't have to be born. People think, nah, if you either have it or you don't. That's not the case. You can develop it. Leaders aren't inherently any different from those they lead regarding their physiology or body composition. They possess other characteristics and habits that may not be apparent to the naked eye. Leaders don't need to have a leadership title, and that is important. You know, you think, they're discussing leadership. Well, I'm the janitor at the company, so it doesn't apply to me. No. Every employee of a company should have to think and act like a leader in some way, in some shape, or in some form. So we all are leaders. So whether you're a corporate executive or entrepreneur, you'll need a good understanding of executive leadership. And without strong leaders, everything crumbles. Leaders can create structures in organizations and directly contribute to productivities. And good leaders inspire teams to thrive. Good leaders inspire teams to ultimately affect a company's bottom line. Strong entrepreneurial leaders manage remote teams in a way that leads to growth of the entrepreneur's business. So good leaders inspire you to be better. Bad leaders leave you frustrated. They leave you frustrated. So the question then is, what separates the good leaders from the great leaders and things like that? We'll continue talking about that throughout the hour, inshallah.
Yeah, that is what leadership. That is why it's so important in the work environment. Now, this is the main thing about leadership, Mufti Saab. Why is it important to lead by example?
Because actions speak louder than words.
Most definitely, they do.
Action will always speak louder than words, especially in the workplace, because actions lead to execution and results. So, what you need to do is you need to bring the best version of yourself forward. To get the best out of your people, you need to get the best out of yourself first. Think of the doctor who stops the patient from smoking and then steps out of his surgery and takes a cigarette. What do they say? He's a hypocrite. He's setting a poor example. Anyone who is a parent knows how the equation plays out in the long run with raising children. Mm. The things you tell your children not to do end up becoming a habit of theirs because they're too busy watching you do it while avoiding what you told them not to do. So the same holds true in the work environment. If you expect your employees to be on time, if you expect your employees to be ready to go and early at work, you better be willing to set the example for them. Not just once, but repeatedly over time. You need to be there. You need to pitch up. Practicing what you preach will build trust and will benefit the company's culture. These coveted office relationships built out of trust and respect are reciprocally advantageous for the overall health and well-being of the respective parties. There's a poll, Gallup poll, which uncovered evidence suggesting direct reports or experience of 15% greater chance of thriving and overall improved well-being due to their immediate supervisors having higher levels of well-being. So meaning that, when the supervisor is managing himself well, there has a profound impact on those below them. So leaders should set the example. If the leader's responsibility to set example for the co-workers, if you've been in a situation where someone tells you one thing and does the complete opposite, then there's a disconnect. It's unsettling and, it creates a loss of trust. Leaders must be the change they wish to see in the organization and business. Company initiatives may sound great in theory, but they rarely take hold and grow if people don't support it through action. So it is important leaders motivate others to improve, and when you show change through your actions, it's far easier for your team members and co-workers to do the same, to improve collaboration and communication through teamwork, and to the overall morale and productivity of the team increases. So the first point is to walk the talk. That is what will make the difference.
That makes the difference. Walk the talk. You've got to be able to lead by example. Now, Muftisa, what role does effective communication play as far as leadership is concerned?
Communication is the foundation for success in business and in life. I mean, Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him about the impact of the tongue and that people will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam because of that. So it's all about the tongue and how we communicate. Nothing noteworthy gets done without effective communication. That's why we say effective, because not all communication is equal. It's not all effective. We are social beings. There's no way to argue around it, which is why we communicate. And honest communication can be one of the most effective ways to lead your people in business success. So communication is so much more than just the words we utter. It is how we use our body, how we make facial expressions, which can hide in the words and say we say and choose not to say. So choosing not to say something is also a decision made, which could have dire consequences for those who listen. Well, you have to pick it up. True leaders listen far more than they speak. They listen to understand. They find ways to solve problems. They follow up comments and questions, which is a great way to lead by example. High-level leaders understand the importance of communication, and together with it associate the soft skills of listening intentionally, asking questions, using simple gestures for approval, such as the head nod or the smile. And in a world full of digital distractions, chatbots, online messaging, web-based communication, we sometimes lose the humanistic communication component. For example, this lack of human connection can change the culture of the office. So effective communicators know that the difficulty in these practices, as there will always be conversations that need to happen that are uncomfortable, that are concerning, that are confrontational in nature. And real leaders must be willing to toss their ego aside to have these conversations, because they know that the temporary struggle is worth the long-term outcome. So that is why communication is so important, and that leaders who cannot have difficult conversations or share their real opinions on matters with their colleagues and their subordinates, that will lead to the gradual degeneration of the company. When we look at the corporate culture of the 21st century, it won't have time to tolerate those who beat around the bush and use ineffective means of communication. Those individuals will be left behind and have no choice to find their way back. So we've spoken about two things thus far. We've spoken about the importance of leadership. We've spoken about leading by example. And we've spoken about communication. And we'll continue talking after the break.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab has taken us through the importance of leadership, especially in the work environment, and then how important it is to lead by example. You want to be the true leader, you got to lead by example. And obviously the effective communication and the role that it plays as far as being a leader is concerned. If there's no effective communication, how is that really going to make you the true leader that you want to be? We go for a break, the half-hour news bulletin. When we come back on the other side of that, we will continue with this very important and interesting discussion. Okay, we'd continue with our discussion on leadership and the qualities that you need to inculcate in your life in order to be a real, true leader. Now, Mufti Saab, taking the discussion further, is there a place for empathy in leadership?
Definitely. Empathy is an important quality, and it's linked to emotional intelligence, which has been one of our center themes that we've been discussing. So emotional intelligence is one of the most important traits for leaders, especially in the 21st century. And it's a guiding factor for long-term success and building relationships, among many other factors. One of the greatest strengths of emotional intelligence is the ability to show empathy towards your colleague, your co-worker, your office personnel. So we need to make empathy an integral part of our practice when we lead by example. And simply said, empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes, understanding things from their perspective. And that is one of the quickest ways to build trust and to show people you care. And it's also a great way to build long-term relationships. So leaders who show empathy set the tone for future interactions, conversations, especially with the hard conversations that are inevitable in the workplace. Over 90% of HR professionals, CEOs and employees believe empathy is an essential factor in the proper functioning of the workplace. In fact, it is so important that 8 in 10 employees stated that they are willing to leave a job or employee who isn't empathetic.
Sure.
So this is from a poll that put this information forward. So empathy in the workplace can also signify improved company overall health and well-being, with medical institutions and hospitals now teaching medical professionals how to use empathy in the clinic to enhance their patients' outcome. And since we can improve and grow our ability to use empathy, it's a skill that should continuously be groomed and it needs to be worked on.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. So what we have learned from this is that, as Mufti Saab has explained, is that empathy is a quality, it is a trait, it is a characteristic that every leader ought to have. Now, on the other hand, on the flip side of the coin, Mufti Saab, why is micromanaging a bad leadership trait?
What is micromanaging? You know, micromanaging is a person who resists to delegate, to give the work to others, or is overly involved, doesn't allow for the employees to make their own decisions, wants continuous frequent updates, expects very detailed reports all the time, prefers to be CC'd on every email that goes, all communication in the office, I want to be copied in that, suggest unrealistic deadlines, find the team members to be usually demotivated, focuses on unimportant details, and things like that. So there are advantages to micromanaging because, the leader is now part of everything and is hoping to get the best out of the team and add value to any department and, develop. But the disadvantages are also there. It wastes a lot of time, reduces job satisfaction, it kills creativity and efficiency and reduces employee satisfaction. So we've all, experienced terrible leadership, and one of the things that terrible leadership entails is micromanagement, and nobody likes that. Empathetic leaders do not micromanage. They are empathetic and try to understand the best. And strong empathetic leaders study the best way to communicate with other humans. They don't micromanage. They equip customers and team with everything they need to succeed. They are diverse and exclusive. They understand that people are more committed when they feel a leader cares. They have genuine desire to see those who they lead succeed in life. They are committed to learning how they can lead better. And leading with empathy makes good leaders better. Empathy allows leaders to understand their role and to play to everyone's strengths.
Okay, so from the two qualities, as Mufti Saab has explained, it's better to rather be an empathetic a leader than rather to be a micromanaging leader, because you might be involved in everything, but it just doesn't get the job done. Now, another quality as far as leadership is concerned is judging, Mufti Saab. As a leader, you should avoid judging. Is that right?
Yes. As much as we don't want to admit it, you know, we are judgmental. We tend to judge a book by its cover.
Mm.
And judgment is the root of hate and opposite of empathy. Empathy and judgment don't exist in the same. Too many leaders are seen as, you know, as dictators because they lead from a place of judgment. And it's almost instant that when someone feels judgment is repulsive and not good for leadership qualities. So being an inclusive and empathetic leader means you try to understand the other person's position. You don't form a judgment until you have all the facts. Mm. And even then, you try to understand the importance of the context. We are humans. Life is short. We need to learn how to understand the position that someone else is coming from. And it helps you to be more empathetic person and more decisive leader. You can't know what someone else is going through. And empathy can make all the difference. So people you are leading will see your desire to better understand what they're going through, which will lead them to want to follow you. Judgment may be the natural human emotion, but you've got to learn to put it aside and embrace empathy.
Yeah, these are things, as Mufti Saab said right from the start, these are things that need to be learned. You might not be the best in any of these qualities, or maybe you might have some of these bad qualities as far as leadership is concerned. You need to work on it, and it can come right. You can fix it up. Now, this is a very interesting question, Mufti Saab. Even when it comes to the famous leaders that we've had out there, there have been many leaders that this world has seen. Some have been classified and some have been called to their face dictators, etc. And then you get leaders. What is the difference between dictatorship and leadership?
Yes. You know, keeping the theme that we've been talking about, empathy, empathetic leaders are passionate about leading by example, not a dictator. Not dictatorship. When people feel dictated to, they're less likely to want to take action. Inspiration comes from a place of empathy, and empathetic leaders motivate change. You can be a boss without making those you lead feel low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is important. You can be the boss without making those you lead feel low. And the leaders that last and inspire people to follow them are individuals that are committed to their personal growth. They understand that to be better leaders, they have to be better humans. And empathetic leaders devote time and energy to becoming the best version of themselves in every area of their life. Personal development works help leaders become more compassionate and empathetic. So you need to invest in your own growth so that you can lead from a place of abundance. And as you understand the need to cultivate awareness, you'll see where you have not been empathetic, and then you'll make the change. So, you know, when people are felt like they don't have a say in matters and they're being dictated to, that just kills their motivation.
Yeah, unfortunately, it surely does. They don't feel motivated, and if they're not motivated enough, they're not going to get the work done, and that is going to hamper your entire task. Now, as we said, Mufti Saab, the best of leaders can be none other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So maybe Mufti Saab can take us through some of the qualities that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhibited and showed, displayed practically as a leader.
Yes, we know for sure, and we're thoroughly convinced about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's high position in this regard. But, you know, al-fadlu ma shahidat bil a'da, that virtue sometimes can be observed through what the enemies say. And Michael Hart, in his book, where he had ranked the most influential people of history, you know, in that he said that the only man we can say leading history who was supremely successful in both secular and religious level was the Prophet Muhammad. That is what he had said. Mm. It was Almighty Allah who appointed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the leader of the Muslims. First and foremost, you know, it was in Medina, and then for the rest of the Ummah, Allah Rabbul Izzah says that وَجَعَلْنَا مَأِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى فِعْلِ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. And we made them into leaders to guide people in accordance with our command, and we inspired them to good works and to establish salah and give zakat, and they worshipped us alone. So it is Allah's choice, as we know, and that in itself is sufficient for us. There are many characteristics that Nabi Salaam had, whatever he possessed is what will make a person a great leader by adopting those characteristics. When we look at being merciful, Allah Rabbul Izzah says that we sent you as a mercy, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. Indeed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the epitome of peace and mercy. Whenever he was wronged by anyone, he would forgive them and would refrain from holding grudges. It is narrated by Sayyidina Anas that once a Jewish woman tried to poison Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and upon knowing her deed, he let her go without punishment. And this shows Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not only merciful and mindful of the Muslims, but was also kind to non-Muslims. Then, when we look at another quality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, genuine care for the poor. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, proved to himself to be the most kind and charitable leader. He advised the Ummah to take care of the poor, to not wrong an orphan, to keep as your only what is necessary for your sustenance. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not appreciate any wealth or appropriate any wealth while he lived, and he instructed his companions to distribute his wealth. At the time of his demise, he said, "Inna la narus nuras ma tarakna sadaqa." Whatever the Anbiya had left was charity. Now, this shows that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mindful of the poor, even in the last moments of his death, that the wealth should go to the poor. Important quality of leadership is to be just. Allah Rabbul Izzah states in Surah Ma'un, those who do not deny the rights, and I look down upon the poor. So, أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. As a leader, one should not only do anything in your power to make lives of those people easier, but should also offer assistance whenever it is possible. To be trustworthy, we know the famous story that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was known as Al-Amin, therefore he was given that title. Even at the time of Hijrah, he had looked after the possessions of the people of Makkah, and that is why he left Sayyidina Ali behind to distribute that. To understand the need of the time, a good leader is one who acts according to a situation, according to circumstances. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made sure that he did not burden the Sahaba more than necessary. The Muslims were weak in Mecca, so neither Allah nor Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for jihad. But once the Muslims had the strength in Medina, he knew that they had become stronger, and that is when the permission was given. So a good leader does not create unnecessary warfare and tries to he tries to lessen the damage as much as possible. He did not only care for people on his side, but even for the enemy. A good leader is hence compassionate and empathetic. And another interesting and important quality that we've noticed from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is how he included the people in decision making. At the time of the battle of Badr, with regards to what should happen to the captives, he took mashura from them. The decision that was taken to freedom and ransom wasn't the decision that Allah was happy with. But then too, Allah said that continue to make mashura, even though they've given you bad mashura this time round, continue to take mashura from them. At the time of the Battle of the Trench, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the suggestion of Sayyidina Salman to dig the trench as a strategy against the enemy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said, no, Allah will tell me, I don't need to discuss with anyone, the wahi will come to me. But he listened and he took advice from them, and through mashura he then practiced upon that. So these are things that we learn that also add to the leadership, and these are overwhelming qualities that leaders should have being in the position of leadership.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Mufti Sahab sounded many, many, many examples of the life of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he practically displayed why he is known as the best leader, and there can never be any other person that lived in his time or that will come after him that can display better qualities as far as leadership is concerned. So as far as, being the Nabi, he fulfilled his complete responsibility, but as far as leadership, he practically showed us, showed the Ummah what it means to actually be a leader and the qualities that a leader needs to display. Mufti Saab spoke about empathy, and that was so inherent in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was a quality that was displayed regularly in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way he treated people and the way he spoke to people, the decisions that he made, and as Mufti Saab gave numerous examples. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we can bring those qualities into us that will make us then being capable of being a good leader. Finally, Mufti Saab for today, under this topic, what we can discuss is something very important. As leaders, sometimes there's always the, certain feelings among certain people that the leader is, he's got his expectations might be but too high, too much, etc. And, it's just impossible to keep to keep everyone happy. How do you make everyone happy, especially as a leader? Is it possible to keep everyone happy?
Yeah, so sometimes as a leader, you have multiple interests. How do you take care of everyone's interests? And we want to cite an example in this regard. In fact, there's a professor from the United Kingdom, Professor John Adair, who has written a book on this leadership of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's taken the example of the Battle of Hunain, which is a very, very challenging situation for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And challenging situations, they say, is like, they say leadership is like a tea bag, Mullah. Mm. You don't know how good it is until it gets in hot water.
Yes,
well, and the hot water was the Battle of Hunain, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam demonstrated what leadership. So after the conquest of Makkah, some of the neighboring tribes became enraged at the growth of the success of the Muslims, and the Banu Hawazin in particular set out on a warpath and attempted to destroy the Muslims. And this battle took place in the valley of Hunain near Taif, where 12,000 Muslims would meet 44,000 enemies. In outnumbering the enemy for once, in contrast to Badr, many amongst the ranks felt overconfident, overcomplacent, and thinking, a walk in the park. This is going to be easy. Easy peasy. So, they didn't take much. And that is when the Muslims set up camp. They faced a surprise ambush. And as the enemy charged them, earlier than expected, leading to the Muslims to flee, leaving the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in danger. He stood his ground and he countered the attack. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained steadfast with a group of the companions, and eventually they gained control and overcame the Banu Hawazim. The lesson to be learned for those who fled was revealed in Surah Tawbah, where Allah reminded them that, to take preparation and not to be overly reliant on your own capacities. Now, this is where the great leadership of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the fore. There's various things that take place. Firstly, it emerges from one of the captives that Shayma binti Halima, the long-lost foster sister of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was also caught amongst the captives. And she then says that she's the foster sister of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she talks about some interaction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with her as a small child. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recalls that, and he warmly welcomes her and lays down his cloak so that she can sit on that. So the warmth, the patience, the emotional intelligence in the midst of the harshness of war. Now, the Hawazin were defeated, and they were at the mercy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was a difficult point at this point. Now the focus is on the booty and the captives. And at this opportunity here now, the opportunity to exchange booty for honor by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he allowing, those who pleaded for grace, he offered camels and goats in exchange for captives, leaving stakeholders satisfied, and a great example of his wisdom at this time. And then there were the Ansar at this time, so he gave some honor, and others he gave them, he consulted them, and they felt that they relinquished their rights, so they were given honor. Then the Ansar were not happy at that time, because they never get any booty. And then he said to them, are you not happy that the others go home with wealth and you go home with the Nabi of Allah?
SubhanAllah.
And when he said that to them, they felt happy also. So there was different groups at this time, and how he was able to make each one of them feel happy and feel Allah important. And that was the leadership of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So as a leader, your actions and your words will always be under the microscope the team members who depend on you for guidance and execution, they seek this constant feedback. Actions will always speak louder than words. Your words and your communication style needs to be in line with what you do as you lead by example. And while it may seem trivial, constantly coming up short with actions and words will lead to more significant problems down the road as colleagues lose trust in your ability. So trust and respect can't be demanded. They need to be earned, especially in the workplace. Titles and roles can only carry your responsibility so far, which means that it's up to you to take these steps to implement it in your daily habits. And consistency is the easiest way to build your reputation as a leader who can execute on tasks, develop your team, and grow your company's platform.